السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. فوليوم فوليوم ماكس كارو. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، قال تبارك وتعالى في الكلام الوجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أفتؤمنون ببعض الكتاب وتكفرون ببعض، فما جزاء من يفعل ذلك منكم إلا خزي في الحياة الدنيا ويوم القيامة يردون إلى شد العذاب، وما الله بغافل عما تعملون. My dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I started with this ayah and I want you to remember this ayah. This is an ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah number 85, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. He said, do you believe in a part of the book and you refuse to believe in another part of the book? It's a question. Afa tu'minu? Is it that you believe? Hamhura. Wahan se volume ko. So, do you believe in a part of the book and you leave out a part of the book? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah with regard to the Bani Israel. And but as we know, the Muslims today, we seem to follow the Sunnah of the Bani Israel instead of following the Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking this question, and I want you to see this ayah. Allah is saying, do you believe in part of the book and you reject the rest? And then Allah says, what is the reward or what is the recompense for those of you who do this, except khizyun fil hayati dunya, disgrace in the life of this world? Wa yuraduna ila ashad al azab. Wa yawm al qiyamati yuraduna ila ashad al azab. And on the day of resurrection, such people will be consigned to the most grievous torment. Ashadul azab. Ashad al azab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the superlative form of shadid, which is ashad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa mallahu bighafilin amma ta'malun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not ignorant of what or unaware of what you do. The reason I began with this ayah and I want you to think about this is because the topic today is, what is it we started with in Ramadan with, we started in Ramadan with the issue of taqwa. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He sent, made Ramadan and fasting fard on us so that we develop taqwa. And then the next Jummah we talked about the importance of tawbah as being the first step in order to attain taqwa. So we cannot attain taqwa while we continue to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously the first step is to recognize and realize where we are disobeying Allah and to make tawbah. So last Jummah we spoke about that. This Jummah inshallah we will speak about what is it that prevents us from making tawbah. Because there are some very important elements and I'm going to talk about that. And that's why I began with this ayah. There is a very important attitude that prevents us from making tawbah. And it's like a switch in the mind. Inshallah, may Allah make it possible for us to flip that switch for those of us for whom it is important to do. Because once you flip that switch, then everything else becomes very easy. But until you flip that switch, life is going to be very tough. I began with this ayah because that ayah talks about this switch. And the switch is, we believe in some things and we don't believe in some things. We accept some things and we don't accept some things. Now, if you look at the standards that we have set for ourselves, we, may Allah forgive us, have made ourselves the lawmakers. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the lawmaker. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the permission to implement these laws and to prescribe these laws with his hukam and with his wahi. everyone else who comes after Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is can only be an implementer of the law or a follower of the law. He cannot be a maker of the law. But we have made ourselves makers of the law. And let me give you examples of this. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ma'idah, Allah said,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجُسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, Al-Khamr, which is alcohol, and all intoxicants, all sorts of drugs and anything which is addictive in nature, comes under the definition of intoxicant. Al-Ansab wal-Azlam, which is fortune-telling, and you know, those days they used to do divining arrows and whatever other forms of fortune-telling, tarot cards or seances or whatever, right? Allah says, these and gambling. Al-Khamru wal-Maisir wal-Ansab wal-Azlam. Maisir is gambling. Any form of gambling. Whether that form of gambling involves little pieces of paper, or whether it involves the internet, or whether it involves four-legged animals, or whether it involves two-legged animals, because there's a lot of gambling today on cricket and on football and so on. Major money. The money is not in anything else. The biggest money in cricket and football. And why do you think people like our friend Modi invent this? I mean, as a business model, it's brilliant. But, you know, I mean, the 2020 and the one-day international, where's the real dough coming from? That real money is in the gambling. And that's why, subhanAllah, may Allah protect us from such things. Because this is where shaitan comes in and takes something which in itself, nothing. There's nothing wrong with playing cricket. I mean, you know, it's nothing haram about playing cricket or playing football. Alhamdulillah, it's a, if you go play it, in at least the ones who are playing, at least it's good for their health and so on and so on. But they take something which is, in effect, a good thing and convert it into something which is haram. And so may Allah protect us and open our eyes to that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying four things. Number one, intoxicants. Two, gambling. Three, fortune telling. And two ways of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these are the handiwork of shaitan's evil. Rijusum min amali shaitan. The worst among the amal of shaitan. Fajtanibuhu. Now, this word fajtanibu is a very interesting word in Arabic. Fajtanibu means don't even go near it. It means stay away from it, stay far from it, leave it. Now if you think about it, supposing somebody says, don't do it. Or someone says, here is a boundary, don't cross it. That's one way of prohibiting something. And another way is, that's the boundary, don't even go near it. So the question of crossing does not arise, because if you're not even going near it, where is the question of crossing it? Now our people make all sorts of, anyway, we'll come to that in a minute. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these things are the amal of shaitan and don't even go near it. Right? So which are the things? Alcohol. Do you want me to name all the brands for that? They're all haram. I mean, if you want me to name the brands, I'll name the brands. Gambling and fortune telling, magic, all of these things. Haram. Rijsum min amali shaitan fajtanibu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made these things haram. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said about hurmat, things which are haram. Allah said,
إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةَ وَالدَّمَ وَلَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُهِلَّ بِهِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ.
Allah said, Allah has prohibited for you what is dead. جو ہم اردو میں بولتے ہیں مردار. What is dead? And Allah has prohibited for you blood, dam. And Allah has prohibited for you lahmul khinzir, pork. Includes spare ribs, includes rashers of bacon and, you know, all of that stuff, right? Allah has prohibited for you pork, lahmul khinzir, the flesh of pigs. And that which is slaughtered in the name of anyone other than Allah. Now, my question to you is very simple. My question is, if I tell you Allah ne suwar ko haram kiya, I'm sure many people will say, kya hai sahab jume ke khutbe mein suwar 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 bol rahe, bura janwar bolo. Lafz bolne ke waste bhi humko karahiyat aati hai, nahi Hyderabad ke musalmanon. Magar main malak ped bola to, race club bola to, Deccan Derby bola to, and I won't name the other places because I name them quite a lot. You get the point I'm making. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make any differentiation in the Quran with regard to what is haram? You know what the differentiation Allah actually made? This ayah with the rest of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but if one is forced by necessity, what is necessity? If your life is about to go, if you are about to die of starvation or something, you are marooned on the top of something and all that, there is this one pig which is standing there, go eat it. But don't make it into a habit. So in this particular prohibition, there is at least some scope to say that in a unusual situation where you might, your life might be in danger, you are permitted to eat that. What about gambling? Is Allah saying, you know, right, when you're really in a bad shape, entertainment-wise, you know, okay, well, go one day to the races. I mean, it's okay. Is Allah saying that? Point I'm making for you, my brothers and sisters, is afatu minuna bil badil kitabi wa takfuruna bi bad. Allah, I started with which ayah? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you believe in some part of the book and you leave out some part of the book. So what have we done with our standards? I'm talking about why it is difficult to make tawbah. You know why it's difficult to make tawbah? Because we first don't recognize the evil. We refuse to accept that the evil is evil. Because we have become, made ourselves partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our action that that's okay, you can make some laws, but I can also make some laws. You like certain things, that's fine, but I also like certain other things. By our action, we are not saying this with our words, but by our action, we are saying that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited two things equally. He said, alcohol is haram, gambling is haram, fortune telling is haram, magic is haram, the flesh of pigs is haram, raw blood is haram, dead animals are haram. No differentiation, say everything is haram. But we are saying, flesh of pigs, raw blood, I mean, how many of you like to have a, you know, glass of raw blood? Nobody, right? So it's easy for us to say, chachi, ghalize. Because in any case, I don't want to do that. And if you think people in the world don't do that, they do. The Maasai, this is their normal diet, raw blood mixed with milk. In South America, in British Guyana, they make something called black pudding, which is made out of raw blood. The first time somebody showed it to me, I thought it was a sweet. Mercifully, Allah saved me, and I didn't eat it. They call it pudding. What do you think? A pudding, according to me, is sweet. So people do that. But Allah is saying, two separate standards we have set for ourselves. What we like, if it is haram, we still do it. And we find ta'wilat, and we find explanations, and we find reasons to do it. And we try to justify it, and we'll say, nahi, nahi, mia, itta kattar honne ki zurat nahi hai. Ye maulviyon ko kya hai, har cheez ko haram kar dete, zindagi mushkil ho gai. Kahi ko bolo to, risk ko na ko jao bole bolo. Aap ghode hai, aapki zindagi kahi ko mushkil ho rahi? Ghode ki zindagi mushkil ho na, risk ko nahi, risk mein reha to khane ko nahi milta. Aapko kya par, aap ghode hai? Aapki zindagi kahi ko mushkil ho rahi? Nobody prevented riding. We are talking about gambling. And 90% of the people who go there don't know the front end of a horse from the back. But they're going there to make money. They're going to there to lose money. And they pay big amounts of money in order to become members of an organization which will put their names in a list. What will happen to this list on the day of judgment if you die with your name still on that list? Allah Alam. I'm not going to make fatwa here, but you can imagine. Different standards. Let me give you some more examples. Let me ask you a question. In your view, which is more serious and which is more grievous, which is more punishable? Disobeying Allah or disobeying your mother-in-law? which one is more serious and more grievous? Disobeying Allah or disobeying your mother-in-law? Which one? Mother-in-law, is it? Sons-in-law never have problems with mothers-in-law. I mean, this the other side, the one that I can't see from here. If you are saying the truth, which is that you are saying it is more serious to disobey Allah than to disobey your mother-in-law, let me ask a question, which is that if your daughter-in-law or your daughter, will expand this a little bit, if your daughters or daughters-in-law do not wear the hijab, are you more offended and are you more bothered and are you more angry and are you more concerned and are you more aggrieved and are you more, sad and glad and bad and mad or whatever? Are you more angry with that? Or if your daughter-in-law says that, you know, you want her to do something and she said, no, I don't want to do that. I refuse to do that. Which is the more serious offense? If your daughter-in-law refuses to obey you, is she in more trouble? Or if your daughter-in-law refuses to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered her to do, is she in more trouble? Which one? And now since all these guys who don't have beards are looking very happy, let me complete. My reputation is I speak about only two things, beards and hijab. So I must live up to my reputation. Which in your view is a more serious offense? Disobeying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or disobeying your whoever elder or whoever, you know, teacher or brother or whoever? Which is the more serious offense? Seriously tell me. Which is the more serious offense? Do you want me to complete this whole example? It's quite clear, right? Because irrespective, I don't want to go into the fiqh aspect of it, whether or not this is fard. I will prove to you it is fard. SubhanAllah, come and sit with me, I'll prove it. I'm not going to do it here now. But one thing which nobody will argue with is that this is the hukum of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Call it fard, call it sunnah, call it what you want, but it is an order of the Nabi. Nobody will argue with that. So I'm only staying with that. Yet, we have no problem with shaving our beards. And SubhanAllah, my brother, since I saw his face, I remembered all the things that he mentioned to me. When he started keeping a beard, people told him, Allah rahim kare musamma, khususan Hyderabad ke musamma, zaban jo hai na, dil ke, dimaag ki kharabi chahre pe aagai bole kate usko. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke chahre pe daadi chuka, dimaag ki kharabi thi chahre ke upar. Khauf karo Allah se. अरे नहीं करते मत करो मगर जवान क्यों दरास्त करते हो. वो आपके चेहरे पर दाढ़ी नहीं रखा, वो अपने चेहरे पर रखा दाढ़ी. आपको क्या तकलीफ हो रही? खौफ करो अल्लाह का. वी हैव सेपरेटेड द स्टैंडर्ड्स. नाउ व्हाट डू यू कॉल समबडी और व्हाट डू यू से अबाउट समबडी हु सेज समथिंग एंड इन द हार्ट इज समथिंग एल्स? व्हाट इज द एन वर्ड? What is the M word? You said it, I didn't say it. One last example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about interest. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa dharu ma baqiya minar riba in kuntum mu'minin. It's an ayah which is a shart, conditional. Allah said, in kuntum mu'minin. He said, oh, you believe? Ittaqullah, have fear of Allah, and give up what remains due to you of interest. If you have lent out money and you're expecting that interest piece of it, he said, give it up, leave it out. If you are believers, in kuntum mu'mineen. So what is the meaning if you don't do that? It's a shart of iman. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا. And for those who do not do it, if you don't do it, فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَآذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and if you do not do it, then take notice. Take notice of war, harb. The word is used is harb. With whom? مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Take notice of war with Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, a simple question I want to ask you. Do you believe or do you not believe that one day we will die? Do you believe or you not believe that one day we will be gathered before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Maidan of Hashar? Do you believe or do you not believe that subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be given the power to intercede for the believers? And do you want or do you not want that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should make dua of istighfar for us? And you want to declare war and you want to accept a declaration of war from Allah and His Nabi? I mean, you can't find anybody else to fight with. SubhanAllah, ajeeb, eh? You can't find anybody else to fight with. And who did Allah tell us to fight with? Allah said, "Ash-shaytanu aduwwukum fattakhizuhu aduwa." He said, Allah said, the shaitan is your enemy and you show enmity towards him. But we want to show enmity towards Allah. We want to show enmity towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, how do we justify this? Because the point is that we know this. I am reading to you from the Quran. This is not my, I'm not standing here giving fatwas. I'm reading you from the Quran and I'm giving you a translation of that. How then do we justify dealing with interest-based banks? How do we justify working in those banks? How do we justify taking income from those banks? And I'll tell you in a minute the biggest problem with this. In Sahih Muslim, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, it has been narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abdullah bin Mas'ud said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed both the one who accepts riba, who takes interest, and the one who pays it. And in the narration of Tirmidhi, it adds and says, as well as the one who records it, and the two people who stand witness to it. Now look at the seriousness of this prohibition. Here is a transaction that, say I am doing, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun, I am not doing this, I am just giving you an example. Say I am doing it with him. And this person here, this brother, he is not done it, he is just writing it down. He is neither taking the money nor giving the money. And these two people here, they are not even writing it down, they are just saying, okay, we are witness to this transaction. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed all of them, all five. Cursed. Whose curse? Do we want the curse of the Nabi or you want the dua of the Nabi? Which one? And then, you know, the funniest thing in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the same riba and the whole interest-based economy. Allah said, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَثِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a definitive statement. Allah said, Allah will destroy interest. Allah will destroy riba. Will destroy. Allah is not saying Allah may destroy it. Allah will يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى. And we are all very surprised when this whole interest-based economy collapses. And you say, oh my God, how did it happen? So excuse me. How many times do you read the Quran? How many times do you listen to the Quran? Why are you surprised? At least don't be surprised. This is supposed to happen, right? Because Allah has promised it. But you know the biggest tragedy of this? In my other incarnation, I am a leadership development consultant and I advise businesses and so on. And when I went to America 2 years ago, very soon after this economic collapse, almost everywhere I went, people asked me, we understand our system sucks, our system is sick. Can you tell, we hear in the Islamic finance and Islamic economy, can you tell us what that system is? You know, that tell us what the system does not mean giving a 1 hour lecture on that. It means having a robust model implementable on a global scale. It does not mean having, 20 lakhs of rupees and having a little fund and saying, well, you know, somebody wants a bit of money to buy a car, well, I'm going to give it and I won't charge interest. Doesn't work, boss. Doesn't work. I want $100 million to start a business. Where can I get that without paying interest? That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a global, robust economic system. And you know why that system does not exist till today? Because the Muslims refuse to take the Quran seriously. The Muslims refuse to take the Quran. What Allah has made haram, the Muslim has made halal on himself. And therefore, there is no need to do anything else. We make ta'wilat, we make all kinds of explanations, and subhanAllah, may Allah forgive those of our ulama who are compliant and who give us all sorts of excuses. Remember when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who deals in riba, who takes it and gives it and witnesses it, on the day of judgment, the angels will come and give him a sword in his hand and say, there is Allah, go fight him because you have accepted a declaration of war. Now ask your Mawlana who gave you a fatwa that this is Darul Harb and that interest is jaiz. Ask him whether he is prepared to come and stand with you with a sword in his hand to fight Allah. Start recruiting your army here. But no matter who you recruit, nobody else, nobody is going to be there with you because you will be standing alone. Once again, you want detailed explanations with proofs, come to me, I'll tell you. This is not the place for that. But I'm telling you, interest is haram. It is haram, it is ashad haram. The one who takes it, the one who gives it, the one who witnesses it, all transactions to do with it are ashad haram. If you die with that, you are one of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared war against and you have accepted this declaration of war. Be warned, I have said this in so many words. I'm explaining to you how we have changed the standards to suit ourselves. Now, what does Islam actually want? What does Islam actually demand from us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dukhulu fis-silmi kaffa wa la tattabi'u khutuwati ash-shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh, you who believe, enter into Islam completely and fully. Think about this, if you already are a believer, what is there to enter into Islam? What is the meaning of this ayah? Does this ayah have any meaning at all? Because according to us, we are Muslims, right? I mean, log bolte kya karna sahab, namaz padh rahe, zakat de rahe, abhi kya karo bolte? Allah pe itna bada ehsan kar rahe, abhi kya karna? So what is Allah saying? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. What do we know about ayat which begins with Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu? That they are a direct order of Allah, right? So what is Allah saying? Allah is ordering us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, oh you who believe, udkhulu fis-silmi kaffa. Enter into Islam completely. Not partially. Not partially. There is no promise of Allah on a partial practice of Islam. All the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of His help, of His ajr, of His reward, are on the complete following of Islam. Udkhulu fis-silmi kaffa. And Allah says, wala tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan. Don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. See the beauty of the bayan of the Quran. You know, when you're following somebody's footsteps, if somebody is grabbing you by the scruff of your neck and dragging you on a road, you can blame the person. You say, Allah, what can I do? I mean, you know, this powerful person, he grabbed me and he took me. I mean, I had no power to resist him. Right? You can say that legitimately. But if you are following footsteps, what is the meaning of that? If I am walking in front of you and somebody asks you, who are you following? Will you say, I am following Yaver's footsteps, or will you say, I am following Yaver? I am there in front of you, right? So you say, I am following this man. He's there. He's walking in front of me. I am following him. When will you say, I am following the footsteps of Yaver? When Yaver is no longer there. All that remains are the footsteps on the path. Now you are saying, well, you know, he passed this way and I am following those footsteps. And what is the word Allah is using? La tattabi'u khutuwat. Footsteps. Ash-shaytan. Shaytan is not even there. Wo to kaan mein zurfu ke chale gaya. And we are following. Now whose responsibility is it? Who's responsible? That is why shaitan will say, Fala talumuni walumu anfusakum. Say, don't curse me, curse yourself. Shaitan will say very clearly, don't curse me, it's your problem, boss. I only told you, who told you to obey? I didn't force you to obey me. You obeyed me. La tattabi khutwati. Islam demands complete obedience, not partial obedience. Islam demands that we remember that one day we die, that we will die. And that we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this very clearly in Surah Sajdah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
وقالوا أئذا ضللنا في الأرض إنا لفي خلق جديد بل هم بلقاء ربهم كافرون قل يتوفاكم ملك الموت الذي وكل بكم ثم إلى ربكم ترجعون ولو ترى إذ المجرمون ناكسوا رؤوسهم عند ربهم ربنا أبصرنا وسمعنا فارجعنا نعمل صالحا إنا موقنون
الله said these are the people وقالوا أئذا ضللنا في الأرض إنا لفي خلق جديد these are the people who say to you O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is it true that when we die and we become part of the earth we have decomposed and become mud Are we going to be resurrected again? Are we going to be brought alive again? It's a question which is a denial. So Allah is saying what? بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ Allah said, tell them, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ Tell them, you will die. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ Tell them, you will die. مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ has been set upon you. ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ And he will bring you back to your Rabb. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the scene that we will see. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who will see the scene but who will not be part of that scene. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ لَا كِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ Allah says, O my Nabi, if you could see the mujrimeen, if you could see those people, the criminals who used to deny the meeting with Allah, who used to deny obedience of Allah, if you could see them, they will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their heads hanging in shame. Because they would have seen. What would they see? They would see Allah on his arsh. They will see the hamal in arsh, holding the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will see the angels, millions and millions and millions of them, Safan, Safa, row upon row upon row. They will see the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will see their own total and complete helplessness even to move. They will see the total and complete silence. لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن, Allah said. Nobody will speak except the one who is given permission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Total silence. And what will they say? What will they do? They will say, Rabbana, is oh our Rabb, Abu Sarna, we have seen, Wasamiana, we have heard, Farjana, Namal Salihan, Inna Mukirut, please send us back into the world and we will be very obedient servants. But it's a one-way street, non-return valve. Non-return valve, the blood flows only one way, doesn't come back. One-way street. When you're gone, you're gone. You know, in America they say, you only live once. They mean it in a different way. I'm saying the same thing. You only live once. You better believe it. Nobody's coming back. Final point I want to make for you, my brothers and sisters, before we close. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those people who refuse to make tawbah and who continue to follow the desires of their hearts. Allah says in Surah Al-Furqan, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَىٰ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا أَمْ تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرُهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ إِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا Allah says, O my Nabi, have you not seen those who have taken their desires as their gods? See the word Allah has used. إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَىٰ معبود اپنی خواہشوں کو معبود بنایا الہ What do you call somebody who takes as a object of worship someone other than Allah? What is M word? Allah is calling that. Same thing. Allah is saying to take your desire as an object of worship. What is the meaning of object of worship? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained this very clearly. He said to obey is to worship. To obey is to worship. Because in Surah Tawbah when the ayat came about Ar-Ruhban of the Christians, the son of Uday bin Hatim, Hatim Tai's son came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had a big cross on around his neck. He came in, later he accepted Islam, became a very one of the big Sahaba of Rasulullah. But at that time he was not a Muslim, he was a Christian. So he came and Rasulullah recited his ayah, and he said, these are the people who take their ruhban, they take their priests and their monks as gods other than Allah, min dunillah. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, we do not worship our monks and priests. So Rasulullah said, tell me, is it not true that Allah has made some things halal, but your priests have made them haram, and you accept what the priest says? He said, yes, this is true. He said, is it not true that Allah has made something haram and your priests have made it halal, and you accept what the priest said? Is it not true? They said, yes, this is true. He said, that is to worship the priest instead of worshiping Allah. Homosexuality. Gay used to be a nice word once upon a time. You know, you feel happy, you say, I am gay. Now, if I say, I am gay, what do you think? Homosexuality, haram or halal? Not Islam, it is haram. I know this. I'm saying in Christianity, in Judaism, according to their law, which is it halal or haram? In their religion, what have they made it? Eating of pork and drinking of alcohol, haram or halal? The Jewish religion is haram, clearly. The religion of Isa alayhi salam is the Jewish religion. Is the Torah, is the book. This is what they have done. Now, this is what we do with regard to our desires. When we want to do something and the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits it, we ignore the law of Allah, we do what we want to do anyway. We make some excuse, some justification, some argument. My brothers and sisters, I want to warn myself and I want to warn you. Please, please, please remember, do not do this. We have no idea when we are going to be called. And when that time comes, لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Allah said, not by a second, not by a sa'ah, not by an hour, not by a minute. Will it be delayed or can it be brought forward? The time of death is fixed. And if we die without making tawbah, if we die on the basis of all these false beliefs and all these false, you know, figments of our imagination that we want to live our life by, then at that time, nobody can help us. No one can help us. Let us not do this to ourselves. Remember, ignoring consequences does not make consequences go away. Free fall and free flight look the same. Free fall and free flight look the same. There's no difference. As a matter of fact, free fall is faster because you are accelerating at 32 feet per second per second. You know where the difference comes? In the end. In the end. If you are in free fall, imagine this situation. There's a guy who jumped out of a plane without a parachute. And there's another guy who jumped with a parachute. Who's traveling faster towards the earth? The guy without the parachute. Now, somewhere at 10,000 feet above the earth, he is telling the one in the parachute, he said, man, you're kind of slow, yeah? I mean, look at me. Look at me. You said I will die if I jump from the plane without a parachute. I ain't dead. I am flying. He said, yeah, wait. Wait. All it takes is that 32 feet per second, that doesn't take long, yeah? And then what happens? That is the point I'm making. Just because you have friends who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blatantly, don't get misled, they are in free fall. If they don't pull the chute before they hit the earth, don't get mistaken by that. Don't say, kya hota un loga kar rahe na? उन्हों कर रहे होंगे नहीं कर रहे होंगे उससे आपके आमालनामे में कोई फर्क नहीं पड़ने वाला है. अगर वो चीज आप करे और अगर वो चीज के खिलाफ आप नहीं बोले, रिमेंबर टू स्पीक आउट अगेंस्ट सिन इज अ फर्ज ऑन द मुस्लिम. दोज ऑफ यू हु आर इन द हु आर लिसनिंग टू द तफसीर टू डेज अगो हर्ड दोज आयत एंड हर्ड द तफसीर इन द तरावी. I want to remind myself and I want to remind you that we live only once. that the lawmaker is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Nabi and not us. That we have not been given the freedom to take the law and twist it and turn it to suit our own desires. That if we do that, then we are putting ourselves in competition with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the lawmaker. And I want to remind myself and I want to remind you that that is a very dangerous situation to be in. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfirukallahumma wa natubu ilayk. We'll take 5 minutes to pray the Nawafil and Sunan, and then we will start the khutbah. Jazakallah khair.